This is your community radio station, 88.3 Southern FM.
And first up, the space show is off to the moon.
Let's take a trip to the moon. Come on, let's go for the moon. I wanna go to the moon. Let's take a trip to the moon.
The United States company Intuitive Machines has launched its IM-1 lunar lander. Now, this was aboard a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. Now, IM-1 is taking a direct approach to the moon to land at Malapert A crater, which is in the moon's south polar region. There had been some doubt as to whether the launch would occur on time when it was scheduled to launch on January the 12th. And that was because it had to occur from the Kennedy Space Center's Launch Complex 39A. And this is the only pad equipped to fuel the moon lander with liquid oxygen and methane propellants. The problem was that this pad was occupied by a SpaceX Falcon Heavy until December the 28th, when it launched the seventh flight of the United States Space Force's X-37B space plane. Now, had the X-37B launch been delayed, technicians would have had to reconfigure the pad for the smaller Falcon 9 rocket in a rush. As it was, the launch was put back. The launch of the Intuitive Machines, Odysseus, was put back. Now, let's go to a press conference about it.
Hello, and welcome everyone to the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. I'm NASA's Megan Cruz. Liftoff of a Nova C moon lander is scheduled for 1:05 a.m. Eastern time after the team waved off a launch attempt yesterday. We'll talk more about that in just a few minutes, but for today, we are go for launch. And if everything goes according to plan, that lander will complete its journey 8 days from now with a landing at Malapert A, a 24-kilometer-wide crater on the shadowy south side of the moon. Intuitive Machines, an American-based company in Houston, Texas, built and developed the lunar lander that will carry, among other things, six NASA payloads to the moon. We'll tell you all about those instruments and much more throughout this broadcast, but first, let's learn a little more about the moon-bound spacecraft. It's an autonomous Nova C-class lunar lander named Odysseus. Including the solar panels, it is 4.3 meters tall. Including the landing gear, it is 4.6 meters wide. The lander weighs approximately 675 kilograms and is capable of delivering about 130 kilograms of payload to the surface of the moon. Most of that spacecraft weight is fuel. Odysseus uses a liquid methane and liquid oxygen main engine that can throttle down to perform its final descent to the lunar surface in one continuous burn. Now, Intuitive Machines' IM-1 mission is funded by NASA's Commercial Lunar Payload Services Initiative, which allows acquisition of lunar delivery services from American companies for payloads that advance science, exploration, and the commercial development of the moon.
That's going well, Jesse, and thank you. And welcome into the broadcast booth at Intuitive Machines' Mission Operations Center in Houston, Texas. This room is just outside of what we call Nova Control. Nova being the nerve center of our entire lunar program. Here's a closer look at how we'll get there.
The Intuitive Machines IM-1 mission is sending commercial and NASA payloads to the lunar South Pole region on an uncrewed robotic Nova C-class lunar lander called Odysseus.
The lander is the tip of the iceberg, and what's below that is the full program that is on a miniature scale, very similar to what the Apollo program had.
The IM-1 flight path mirrors the historical achievements of Apollo 2, starting with separation for the launch vehicle on a direct shot at the moon.
That trajectory is basically like throwing a fastball that is going to hit the moon 6 or 7 days later, like an outfielder stretching out to grab it.
The first 4 days are dedicated to flight controllers in Houston firing the lander's 3D-printed liquid methane and liquid oxygen engine to make small course adjustments to hit its orbit target around the moon. This particular coordinate system is called the B-plane.
You can think about the B-plane kind of like the backboard of a basketball goal. And you basically know when you shoot hoops that if you can get the basketball in the square on that backboard, it's going to go in. And the B-plane for astrodynamicists is very much the same thing.
With the B-plane on target, Odysseus is prepped for a critical autonomous maneuver on the moon's far side. This critical burn maneuver is completed in the blind, with the moon blocking direct communications back to Nova Control in Houston.
Once we get around the moon, we have on the day side of the moon, the sun heating us from one side and reflected infrared light off the bright moon warming us on the other. Then we plunge into night and now we're cold on both sides. It's very tough.
About an hour before landing, flight controllers command descent orbit insertion, or DOI. This is a main engine firing to slow the spacecraft so its altitude drops from 100 kilometers to about 10 kilometers above the lunar surface. After DOI, Odysseus coasts for about an hour before starting its final approach.
And then we reach a point called power descent initiation. The guidance system on board makes the decision to activate the main engine at very close to full power.
Cameras and lasers are feeding information to the lander's navigation algorithms, which provide guidance, navigation, and control. With a safe site identified, Odysseus enters a 3 meter per second descent, then down to 1 meter per second for the last 10 meters to the lunar surface. Now, the lander is using an inertial measurement unit, which is similar to a human inner ear that senses rotation and acceleration. Flight controllers expect about a 15-second delay before confirming the ultimate milestone, softly landing on the surface of the moon.
And I can tell you, just from doing our simulations, that's the longest 15 seconds you'll ever experience as you wait for the final light to turn green to indicate that you've landed on the moon.
The IM-1 landing site is called Malapert A. It's named after 17th century Belgian astronomer Charles Malapert, and is expectedly made of lunar highland material, similar to the material studied during Apollo 16, which was also launched from Launch Complex 39A, where we have more from Megan.
All right, thanks, Josh. And actually, not far from the Malapert A landing site is the Malapert Massif region, and that is one of the 13 candidate regions being considered for the Artemis 3 landing. Okay, so a second NASA instrument on board the Nova C lander is NASA's Radio Frequency Mass Gauge, or RFMG. The instrument is essentially a fuel gauge to estimate the amount of propellant in spacecraft tanks in specifically a low-gravity space environment. So during this mission, RFMG will estimate the amount of propellants in Nova C's tanks. Once proven, RFMG technology would demonstrate significantly more accurate measurements of a fuel tank's fill level without requiring a thrust to provide a force upon the fuel in order to measure it, as current technology does. NASA instrument on the Nova C lander for this IM-1 mission is the Lunar Node 1 Navigation Demonstrator, also called LN-1. That's much simpler. It's similar to when you use GPS to get to a destination. Let's take a look at how it works and what it will do to help support future surface and orbital operations.
Lunar Node 1 is meant to be a demonstration of how we can use various navigation technologies to figure out where you are in and around the moon. I'm holding in my hands the Lunar Node 1 mass simulator. We use this build to test out our vibrational modes, put on a shake table, and also do fit checks with the lander itself. Inside of our payload, we have multiple electronics boards that fit within this chassis that is a little bit about a half U in size. You can see our external connectors here where we have our data and power to the lander itself. And within here, we have multiple boards that do the power regulation, our data control, our FPGAs, all those kind of electronics pieces are in here, as well as a small S-band radio that attaches up underneath this top radiator in order to distribute this heat, and then to talk to the antenna, which mounts here. This is the same size and build as the flight payload. It's just not covered in MLI or some of the other materials that you'll see on the flight build itself.
Okay, so the fifth NASA technology we want to dive deeper into is called ROLSIS, which stands for Radio Wave Observations at the Lunar Surface of the Photoelectron Sheath. There's going to be a quiz on that later, so I hope you all took that down. ROLSIS will use four antennas and a low-frequency radio receiver system to determine how nearby radio emissions from the sun, Earth, and other planets could interact or interfere with science conducted on the moon. This experiment is something that has never been done before. It will perform many tests, including detecting solar radio bursts, radio emissions from Jupiter, and dust impacting the surface of the moon. ROLSIS could even serve as a baseline for a future radio observatory on the lunar surface.
And the launch countdown went according to schedule. And on February the 15th, it was up, up and away.
Startup is coming up here in a couple seconds.
Falcon 9 is in startup.
Great call out. That means that the internal flight computers have now taken over the launch countdown. We are now just waiting the final go from the launch director.
LD, go for launch.
An excellent call. All systems are go for launch of Falcon 9 with the Intuitive Machines lunar payload.
15 seconds. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ignition, and liftoff. Go SpaceX, go IM-1 and the Odysseus lunar lander.
Vehicle pitching downrange. Stage 1 propulsion is nominal.
Falcon 9 has successfully lifted off from Pad 39A at Kennedy Space Center, carrying the IM-1 payload. Now, during ascent, we tilt the engines, the technical term being gimballing, and that turns the rocket horizontally.
And it reached orbital velocity and exceeded that and achieved escape velocity. That done, it was time to separate Odysseus from the rocket.
And there you can see
nominal orbit insertion.
The MVAC engine has shut down, and we did hear that call out for a confirmation of good orbit. So with confirmation of a good orbit, it looks like we are on track for spacecraft separation. IM-1 could become the first U.S. lunar lander since Apollo's last landing in 1972, almost 50 years ago, and could be the first commercial lander to succeed in reaching the moon's surface.
IM-1, Odysseus lunar lander separation confirmed.
What an incredible sight to see the IM-1 Nova C lunar lander drifting away from Falcon 9's second stage, confirming spacecraft separation.
After that, there was a nervous wait while the two craft, the rocket and the Odysseus lunar lander, drifted apart. And then they had to switch on Odysseus and commission it. And that was quite a long, involved process.
What an incredible, incredible view. Just a few moments ago, our flight controllers inside of Nova Control heard that confirmation of launch vehicle separation. This starts the countdown toward our lunar lander's autonomous commissioning. During this milestone, the lander is going through the steps required to power on, determine its position relative to the sun, and make communications contact with flight controllers in Nova Control. It's an autonomous process that takes several minutes. In that time, we'll walk you through what's happening in space approximately 223 kilometers or 139 miles from Earth. At launch vehicle separation, a spring force gently pushes Nova C away from the launch vehicle second stage. We just saw that, allowing the lander to deploy and drift away toward the moon. Brake wires connected to the launch vehicle let the lander know it has deployed, and Nova C starts an internal timer to count down to when it's safe to turn on. After the timer finishes, Nova C's primary systems are expected to autonomously power on. This includes guidance, navigation, and control, or GNC for short, automated flight management software, radios, sensors, and thermal control. The GNC system powers on the cold gas helium reaction control system to stabilize the vehicle's attitude, because at this point, the lander does not know where it's pointed, but it can stop any residual spin motion. This is much like a person spinning in a chair with closed eyes can stop spinning without knowing knowing which way they're pointing when they stop. After controlling the spin rate, special cameras known as star trackers autonomously match images of the distant star field and provide Nova-C with its orientation. Software then takes those star tracker measurements and processes them through an algorithm known as the Kalman filter to correct the onboard orientation. The lander now has two critical data points, its attitude relative to the star field and a reference position from the estimated launch vector. With these data points, Nova-C may command its reaction control system to maneuver the lander's top deck solar array toward the sun for illumination, generating maximum power. All of these steps are expected to be happening right now. And when autonomous commissioning is complete, our Nova-C lander named Odysseus turns on its communication radios and makes first communications contact known as acquisition of signal, or AOS. Making that communications connection involves more than the lander's operations in space. It takes careful coordination here on Earth, too, using Intuitive Machines' Lunar Data Network. The network was designed to support NASA's CLIPS initiative, government services, and other commercial efforts using line-of-sight and data relay services for spacecraft in cislunar space, which also includes low Earth orbit. The secure network is made up of Nova Control, which we're keeping our eyes on right now, and strategically placed ground stations spread across the globe. The ground stations are expected to provide near-continuous communications with Nova-C during the entire IM-1 mission. With that entire network available, our flight controllers responsible for communications and ground stations will be the first people in Nova Control to start seeing data from our lunar lander, which means the ground station assigned to this part of the mission has locked onto Odysseus's signal. Right now, we estimate that the lunar lander is traveling about 10 kilometers per second, which is about 24,600 miles per hour.
All right, I want to make sure Com's happy with it. Com?
Standing by. I don't see packets updating in packet counts unless I'm looking in the wrong spot. And I'm not seeing anything populate in AOS.
So we're still standing by for autonomous commissioning and making that first ground communications from the lunar lander in space.
All right. I see packets. And I see...
All right, guys.
And there... We have it. We have packets. That is Michaela Landovar.
All right, guys.
On the ground.
Com, I want your report. Uplink and downlink, what do we got?
Okay, so I am seeing packets populate on the AOS screen and in the packet counts area. Looks like telemetry is coming in pretty well. We have not started uplink, so we do not have uplink locks at this point. But it looks like we are seeing most everything that we would expect. As far as
that's an excellent call. We have reached a pivotal milestone. We're going to bring it back into the broadcast booth and congratulate the team working inside of Nova Control as our Nova-C lunar lander has successfully separated from the second stage of the launch vehicle, autonomously commissioned, and made first communications contact with Nova Control. What an achievement for the entire Intuitive Machines team.
And so far, the mission is going exactly as expected. Now, the Odysseus is due to land near the lunar South Pole on Friday morning at 9:49. That's Australian Eastern Daylight Time. And NASA television coverage begins at 8:15 a.m. Now, if you look at the moon, remember that we live on the Earth's southern hemisphere. So the lunar South Pole is at the top of the moon as we see it. So remember, when you look up at the moon, the landing site, hopefully not a crash site, is at the top edge of the moon. Now, if you want to know more about what science is being done in the moon, then you might want to catch up with our podcast, a series that we've done. Lunar Science.
Oh. fine and powdery. I can pick it up loosely with my toe. It does adhere in fine layers like powdered charcoal to the sole and inside of my boots. But I can see footprint of my boots and the tread in the fine sandy particles.
Welcome to Lunar Science, the series in which we discuss the scientific investigation of the Moon and its environment in the Artemis era. Yes, the space show is pleased to announce a new 54-part series called Lunar Science. This is not about spaceships and astronauts. It is about the science to be done on and near the Moon during the Artemis project and the supporting unmanned missions. To find these programs, visit space.southernfm.com.au. Then scroll down until you see the Lunar Science link. Once again, Lunar Science is available online at space.southernfm.com.au.
You're listening to 88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.